Today I want to talk a bit about the process of our faith. And in Hebrews 12, familiar text for us here this morning, verse 1, here the author of Hebrews said, therefore, let's read this out loud together. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that what he starts, he completes. Lord, speak to our hearts today, we ask you. Encourage us. Change our lives, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, salvation is free. Salvation is a gift. Salvation is immediate. Salvation is instantaneous when we bow our hearts to the Lord through repentance and through faith, and we make Jesus Lord. Salvation is, in fact, immediate. We believe and we are saved, and that miracle takes place where the Spirit of God comes to dwell within our human spirit. That's a fascinating thing to me, how that works. But upon our invitation and upon our acknowledgement, even the thief on the cross had recognition of who the Christ was in his dying hours. But upon our recognition and our invitation, he comes in and he takes the heart of stone and turns it into a heart of flesh. That's an amazing thing to me, that our justification is instant, but our maturity and our sanctification is an ongoing process until the day he calls us on to the house. Now, there have been different bodies of thought that when people were saved, they were sanctified. And I would think it wouldn't take a lot of time to disprove that theory. All you have to do is cross someone in a wrong way and we'll find out how sanctified we really are. Matter of fact, as we're going to enter in January, this fasting season, you know, there are all these amazing personality tests, you know, the DISC test, strengths finders, the Winslow test. They're pretty sophisticated. But if you really want to find out who you are, enter a season of extended fasting on just liquids only. But anyway, you know, we'll realize where there is, in fact, a process, and we are saved immediately. Thank God that we are on our way to be with the Lord, that if we were absent from the body, we would be present with the Lord. But there is a process of our faith. And I thank God for that process. And there is movement happening all the time. And so I was also just reflecting back, not just on this side of the cross, but what it took me personally even to get to the cross, to salvation. It was not one silver bullet that took place in my own life, but as I reflect, there were multiple encounters and factors that led me up to the point where I finally said yes to the call of God. And I don't know if that was your story. Maybe you heard the gospel once and you said, sign me up for that. I'll take that. But for me, it was definitely a process. There were multiple factors that were into play until I finally said yes. There was a lot of back and forth with me. I don't know about you, but I mean, I counted the cost on steroids. The reason was I had a heart for God, but I loved the world. I felt drawn to the Lord, but I loved myself. Yes, I heard that clarion call, but I was also checking out what was available here. And that's a miserable place. And so I extended the process due to my wrestling with the call of God. And how many of you know if you wrestle with the Lord, he will win. But there was a lot of back and forth. There was in and out and counting of the cost. And there was a lot of prayers that had gone up on my account. There was a lot of counsel, a lot of this and that. So I could list a whole string of factors that contributed and played a major role in my salvation and then beyond. I mean, when I stop and I'm thinking, dear me, it's quite incredible all that God has got to scoot up in just the right way to get you or to get me I mean, think about all that he did to scoot up all the circumstances, all the right thing, all the right people at the right time, the right message, and in the fullness of time, the grace of God was there for you and I to respond. I mean, there were a lot of things that were into play. Some of y'all have heard some of my personal story, but my mom had a critical role because she had gotten saved in a Billy Graham crusade. I grew up in a nominal church setting, never really heard the gospel, so I didn't really have opportunity, but she was preaching all the time, and as a little boy, she was always, when we would come with our issues, and she would always go biblical with us, and so thank God for that. And then there were other things like teaching tapes. Y'all, any of y'all in the 70s, you know, even the charismatic renewal. I mean, it was marked by the Holy Spirit, but it was also marked by cassette tapes that would go around the world. You know, always listening to tapes. Just, I think I had a tapeworm. I was so hungry. And y'all have heard the story that over at NC State in my French conversation class, I was so hungry. And we had all, it was like an auditorium. Everyone had a personal headset, tape player. The professor's at the back, and we're listening to a, quote, French tape and then responding to questions, and he could tap into any of the students he chose to see how you were progressing in your French conversation. And he was French, so every little intonation, every, you know, it was just, and I was so just hungry for God, and I didn't know how to serve God. There was no real discipleship there, but I had a bag of tapes, and I would sit there in that French class and put in teaching tapes, put in faith tapes, you know, and he never did tap into mine. So my mom had a role. I was also mentored in part by teaching tapes. Then there were a couple of churches in Wilson, North Carolina, where I'm from, that they had a real impact. I would kind of have to duck out of my mainline service and kind of duck and go into a little storefront, you know, and to hear word. And so there were a couple of churches there. There were people that were in my life that really contributed to salvation. Y'all have heard me talk about the Millbrook, the house on Millbrook, where my mother had led someone to the Lord in Wilson. Her family relocated to Raleigh. She opened up her home to do a Bible study. And again, I still had one foot in, one foot out, old fraternity boy, and I'd ride my moped across town. And I went in there, and then God reached me in that Bible study by the woman my mom had prayed for in another city years prior. And so that was a very big impetus to getting saved. Y'all have heard me talk about how the guy chased me out in the front yard and basically read my mail. And so then after I got saved, there were many mentors and many influences that just helped shape and help disciple, from the ministry that I was in to different people I would feed off of. I would feed off a ministry for a season, and then it's like, all right, I've got that revelation. Then I'd go to something else that was in season and feed off of that until I felt like I had milked it from what I was supposed to hear. There were certain periodicals and certain journals, certain books, certain authors that I would feed off of that contributed. There were moves of God and revivals that played a discipleship role. So I could list 10 plus things, you know, at least a minimum of 5 that led up to that point of conversion, and then multiple factors that have helped to shape maturity along the way. Is it the same with you? I'm just curious. And so many tutors, many mentors, many contributing factors. It was never just one person or one book or one conference or one experience. Then you step back and you think, wow, all that's been invested just to get us to where we are personally. I mean, you think about in your individual life, all that God has invested over the years, all the believing God, all the standing on the word, all the people he's put in your path, a lot goes into it. Why? He's the author and the what? He's committed to finishing what he started. And he's a good finisher at that. And you know, Mike was up here talking about peace. I remember when Michael first got saved. I can remember where he was. And I rejoice today listening to him and watching him and just watching his steadfastness. And I worship God for keeping him and bringing him the distance. That's no small thing, because I remember, it's good for us to remember where we were. But there's a holy process and there's holy progress. And aren't you grateful for that? How many of us can look back and again declare, wow, look how far God has brought me. Process. All that He's invested. Progress. Process. Progress. Sometimes we despise the process, but in it comes forth progress. And sometimes we stop, Selah, and consider all that He's done and invested. Y'all remember when David had it in his heart to build the temple, but again, he was a warrior, he was a man of blood, and God said, it's not going to be by you, but your offspring will do it. That was an amazing thing. Nathan the prophet said, it was good for you, David, to have that in your heart. That's a good thing, to want to build the house of the Lord. That's good. That didn't just originate just with you. That's my movement on you, but it's good that you acknowledge that and you want that. I'm not going to do it through you, but I am going to do it through your seed. How many of you know if God does it through your seed, it's just like as if He did it to you? It's just like, it's not me? Oh, it's Solomon? Oh, great. It's Solomon. Well, then, jing, jing. I mean, it's just like, yeah. I mean, it was like, well, that's an amazing thing. It's going to come forth. It's going to come out of my house. So the word of the Lord came to him. And there was an interesting response by David. He said in 2 Samuel 7:18, he responded because he was so blown away that he could be a part. And he responded, who am I, O sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you have brought us this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, O sovereign Lord, you've also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. Is this your usual way of dealing with man, O sovereign Lord? And so he was remembering all that God had done. He remembered where he started as the shepherd boy and how God promoted him and how he was able to receive the Spirit of God on him to take out the giant. He was promoted in the king's court and then all the harassment and being chased. You know, when he was anointed, he wasn't king until 7 years later. We think anointing, king. No, no. 7 years in between. You say, I'm anointed. Well, there's some process in there. Hello? And he was shaping a ruler. He was shaping a world ruler. God is shaping you. He's shaping me. And if we won't let Him work on us, He can't work for us. Some people say, no, I don't want you working on me. Well, then He can't work for us. And so, yes, he was secretly anointed by the prophet Samuel, but it was years until he actually stepped into that place of rulership. And even then, there were challenges. And so he's recounting all the trials, all the challenges, but time and 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 time, God came through, God came through, God came through, God came through. So when the baby comes, you don't remember the pain. You're just like, dear me, God's been good. God's been good. And it's like, what? Who am I and what is my house that you would have brought us this far? But not only did you bring me this far, now you've spoken to us about the future and how you're going to allow us to have a role. He was absolutely amazed and dumbfounded at the goodness of God, the investment of God, the long-suffering faithfulness of God. And again, He is patient, we're not, but think of the patience of God to get us where we are. I think of the patience of God to get me to the cross. It wasn't hearing the gospel and, oh yeah, I mean, it was working on me, working on me, working on me, working. One step back, two steps back, you know, one step forward, two steps back. I mean, it was just like this. It's like, what are you going to do? You can't serve two masters. If it had been me, I'd say, enough already. Choose, boy. But He strove with my heart, and I'm glad the long-suffering patience of the Lord. It's that loving kindness that draws us to repentance. I mean, I would have had my hand raised. Choose already. Or if you chose not to serve God for a season, you know, we'd get real sensitive. Well, if you don't want me, I don't want you. You know what I mean? God's not like that. He's not sensitive in that way. It's kind of like your GPS or your Garmin. And you're way off track. No, turn here. Take a right here. And like you're way off, take a right here. Take a left there. Have you ever noticed your Garmin doesn't get impatient? You know, it's like, I said, take a left back there. Where'd you learn to drive? Do you not see that sign right there? You know, some people, they're good visually, but they're not good with numbers. Well, say, well, you get on 440, they're like, oh, 440, just tell me, all right, take a right at the tree, left at the rock, you know, and then we... But all that he put in. I just want you to appreciate that you are here today and you are well today. Yes, you've got challenges, but he'll speak of your future. But all that went in to getting you right here, it's no small thing. There was a process. There was major investment. Can you say major? It makes us love him more when we remember that. And sometimes I think we forget and we sanitize our story. Now, we don't need to embellish to try to create a testimony. I mean, if you didn't rob a bank and you weren't Jack the Ripper, then don't tell people you were, okay? You know, I mean, maybe you got saved at 4 and got delivered from Snickers bars, and that was your big deliverance. All right, well, just shoot straight, you know, just tell the truth, and God will get the honor, he'll get the glory. But he has persevered with us. His commitment to us, even when we're faithless, he's faithful still, and he strives with us patiently and amazingly. Notice again, David said, who am I? What is my family? That you've brought us. He's taking you somewhere. Who am I, my family, that you've brought us? Remember the Israelites. They were brought out of Egypt to a land flowing with milk and honey. There was a whole lot of process in there. Sometimes all we think about is the before and the after. But how about, you know, the devil's in the details? How about all that yuck in between? But he was faithful in between, you see. He brought us this far. We need to appreciate that he did that. That he brought us so far. I mean, when I think about the Jewish people, I mean, y'all realize it was just a few years ago that they were acknowledged to have a homeland? I mean, 1948, Harry Truman was very instrumental in that. I mean, that was just a few years ago. The Jewish people into exile, no homeland, no place to call home, soil. That was just a few years ago. And he's still moving and fulfilling his covenant for Israel. I mean, just this past week, it was acknowledged that Jerusalem was the capital. That was a big deal. I was just reading that week in First Kings how after Solomon had sinned and Rehoboam, he said, I'm going to save one tribe and I'm going to have... And it talked about my city, the city of David, Jerusalem, that I have chose to put my name there. How many of you know that when God chooses to put his name on something, you can't take it off? You can't take it back. I mean, we see these bumper stickers, don't mess with Texas. You ever seen those? I'll tell you what, don't mess with Israel. Hello, don't, you know, you want God's favor? Bless Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But I mean, even now, God's fulfilling his heart. And there's this process and there's time and God's not, he's not weary. He's brought his people. He's the author and the perfecter, the finisher. He brought us, carried us. He's worked with us. He's inspired us. He's patiently corrected us. He rebukes us on occasion. He leads us. There's a movie that came out a couple years ago with my man Denzel Washington. How many of y'all appreciate Denzel? You want to start a riot in a mall? Just say, hey, look, there's Denzel. You know. But anyway, he's a cool breeze, isn't he? Anyway, he was in this film a couple years ago called The Equalizer. A little bit intense. Well, he may be the equalizer, but God, he's the finisher. I mean, create a trailer for that. God, the finisher. God, the perfecter. That's a big deal. I mean, how many you have, like me, you got projects you started well, and then you're like, don't come look in my garage. Can't go there. Do not enter. You know, how many things we have, like, oh, just right there on the corner of our desk. It's just right, yeah, it's on the corner. It's right there. It's been on the corner for 5 years, sweetheart. And that's on the to-do list. He's the finisher. Broken promises, breakdown, all around us, dysfunction. I say we celebrate. We celebrate that. That's a big deal as we watch the Spirit of God strive with another person's will. You know, sometimes we don't obey God immediately, but you watch the persistence of God strive with a person, motivating them, encouraging them. Again, it takes strength to be patient. Anyone, any hothead can be impatient. It takes strength to wait. He's the Ancient of Days. He's waiting for his church now. It's like, when is he returning? Well, we could hasten his coming by how we pursue him, follow him, obey him, or lack thereof. But sometimes people don't kick in immediately. But you observe this amazing persistence of the Lord and how he strives, how he motivates, how he inspires people to take that step of faith. He works with us to take that step of faith. He'll work with you to sever that unholy relationship. You ever had an unhealthy relationship before? And God goes, I think I'll take that. It's kind of like the analogy we use if the FBI were to knock on your door at 3 a.m. Who is it? FBI, we have a warrant. I'm sleepy. We have a warrant. You know, no one's here. No, we have a warrant. And they come in. You say, look anywhere you want. Go ahead. Just don't look in the bottom drawer of that chest over there. First place they're going to go is what? The bottom drawer of the chest over there. You see? And God is patient. He works with people. He'll say, I want that relationship, or that's unhealthy. And people find themselves at times having to even break up in situations that are not God ordained. God motivates and inspires us to come out of wrong mindsets. He motivates and works with us to go from being self-serving to start to give of ourselves. He works with our heart where we actually find joy in serving instead of merely receiving, where Paul said it's even better to, it's better to give, it's better to sow out. The reward is yours. It's the thrill of a parent doing something for a child. It's their joy to give, to provide. God works with us to embrace purity, to embrace faithfulness, to mature, to grow. Sometimes we give up on folk. God doesn't. But you watch the process of maturity over time. Just remember that over here we were like this. And we see other people like that. And they're like, dear Lord, they're flake, you know, dear. You know, and maybe that's true, but it's not the end of the narrative. God's not done yet. Why? He's the finisher. If they have the slightest little yes in their spirit, God can work with that. Now, if they say no, out of my face, that's one thing. But if it's like, I'm weak, I don't know what I'm doing. Hell, he can work with that, the cry of the heart. And so there is a lot of bumbling and there's fumbling and there's kind of just awkward footing, as it were. One step forward, two steps back. God's not intimidated by that as long as he has our will involved. You see, and over time we watch what God does, and it's a marvelous thing. Now, certainly we would prefer immediate obedience and maturity overnight in ourselves and in others, but sometimes we observe a process of gradual growth. Now, certainly there's some that will just spring up overnight. I'm not like, bam. Others, it's more gradual, it's more incremental. Some, when they come to the pool the first day it's open, will stick their big toe in to see, is it warm enough yet? Others just jump in the deep end. That's the way it rolls sometimes. Some of us are microwave fast. Others of us are crock pot slow. Sometimes this could be related to obedience or lack thereof. But one thing we know for sure, sanctification itself, it's a process. It's a process. Now, the process is not license for someone to mock God by sidestepping him and being cavalier. So we can't hide behind process. Well, I'm just under process right now. Okay, we're going to process you to the next level, bless God. You know, you've been in process for, you know, 30 years now. Let's go ahead and take, let's pass go. Amen. So we don't want to hide behind process and trample on the grace of God in that way. Matter of fact, concerning the flood, when man was doing continually wicked, God said, my spirit will not, what, strive with man forever. I will not contend with man forever. So we don't want to tempt the Lord in that way and treat with contempt his forbearance, kindness, patience, and mercy. But here's the main question for us. Is there movement? Is there movement in our lives in this whole process of sanctification? Is there movement toward God and his will and purpose? The people we work with, the people we disciple, it's not a matter of have they reached some unrealistic pinnacle, but have you noticed movement? Do you get it? Is there movement, you see, in their life? God is not looking for perfection as we understand it. He's looking for progress. Progress, not perfection. Progress. Is there movement? That could be a fair assessment. Movement away from the things that are hurtful to the Lord. Movement into following him, obedience. Movement into personal growth, transformation. Movement into change and fruitfulness and a heart that's pleasing to the Lord. Not perfection, but progress. Is there movement? We've shared before the difference in the nature of a pig and a sheep. Pig, see a mud hole and think, ah, mud hole. Dive headlong into it, wallow real good, enjoy it, backstrokes in the mud hole, sipping Mai Tai with a little umbrella in there. This is good. Why? That's what a pig does. It's the nature of a pig. Why does a pig do that? Don't know. I've never tried it, you know, but it's just, it's in the DNA. That's what a pig does. Sheep, on the other hand, if it accidentally stumbles into a mud pit or a mud hole, it's going to kick to get out. If it's ensnared or if it's entrapped, there's going to be something in it to find freedom, to get freedom. So if there's something that's harassing or something that's trying to entrap, here's the question is, do you want to be free? I mean, the influence may still be there. Jesus said the prince of this world comes, but he's got nothing in me. But are you kicking to get free? Do you want to be free? Because the nature of a sheep is to get free. The nature of the pig is to wallow, you see. And so, again, all he's looking for is that yes in our spirit. I don't want that. This attitude will come up. I don't want that attitude. Or we just find ourselves getting given to certain things, and we just tell God, God, that was ugly, you see. The sheep wants out, wants freedom. There's a difference. Movement is wanting out of sin and complacency or being stuck into pleasing the Lord, into change, into transformation, into holiness. Not perfection, but progress. Is there movement there? That's why you have MVP awards. That's why you have most improved awards. Most improved award many times is they weren't the best athlete on the team, but man, where they started, they could barely put one foot in front of the other. And I know it's not that dramatic, but it's like they have from the beginning of the season, the athletic season, until now, man, there has been movement. And that's celebrated. I appreciate that award. That's something to be celebrated. But again, going to our opening text, Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Now, that doesn't have to be a sin. It could simply be running the 100-yard dash in a raincoat and cowboy boots. It's just clunky. Sometimes there are things in our lives that are just clunky. It's not overtly sin, but it's just a hindrance. Can you say hindrance? And we can judge that. You know, that's a distraction. That's not really helping me. That's not helping me achieve my goals. So here he's encouraging them, throw off that which hinders and the sin that so easily what? It entangles. The nature of sin is to entangle. So look for the exit. Exits are always everywhere. Look for the door. Look for the way out. They will entangle. They will ensnare. Don't want to go there. Don't want to get your lunch eaten. So throw off that sin and the hindrance and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and again, the perfecter of our faith. See, there's movement there. There's movement because Jesus, again, he's the finisher. He's the perfecter. So that implies there's movement. Why? Because he's going to finish what he started. Then, therefore, there will be movement. God moves us along the sanctification and obedience continuum and across the finish line. The process of faith. The progress of faith. Growth is so fun to watch in another person. Don't you love it when you see someone ensnared and all of a sudden you see that light hit their eye and they're free and you're like, yeah, yeah. And it may not have happened overnight. In their heart, there was a yes, but it took some time. And God has time where he molded and shaped and inspired and motivated to get them free. And then you see him, you're like, yeah. I see Jesus in you. I see growth in you. This is a good thing. Yay. I love 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. How many of y'all know it's just fun to be a child? But there just comes a time, it's like, all right, you know, okay, I'm 40 now, you know. Kind of like Elf. I'm here and I'm with my dad and I'm singing, you know. It's like, okay, I'm 40 now, I'm 50 now, you know. And so when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Anyone here, you ever measure your height growing up, maybe on the back of the door, put the ruler and a little pen, you do pencil, so maybe you can erase it. Maybe you put ink. How many of y'all measured yourself or your parents measured you, you know, every year and they dated it? Isn't that fun? Isn't that great? And so it's a little bit similar. I was telling Byron Friday night how my mom was challenged by the Lord years ago, early on in her Christian experience, to give up soap operas because, how many of you know, they can take up a couple hours a day. And she had this little impression. Can I have that? Lord, you can have everything you want, anything. Kind of like a little kid, you know, when, you know, icing all over, you know, all over his face. You know, you been in the kitchen? No, why? Like, all right, Lord, you can have anything, you know, but not that was in that bottom drawer, you know. And God came along, and as she had a heart to serve the Lord, God said, that couple hours, because I mean, 1 hour can turn to two can turn to, can I have soap operas? Now, this is not a legalistic theological position on soap operas. You have to work that out between you and the Lord. But for her, God was just putting his finger on it. He said, can I have that? And then finally she said, yes, I'm going to give you that. And then God gave her a new prayer language as a gift. She has three distinct prayer languages. Kind of interesting. You gave me that, I'm going to give you this. I remember a guy saying right after he got saved, he said, God spoke to his heart that if you will just stop chasing girls, I will catapult you in the things of God. And he said that his head pleaded confusion at first because that's all he had ever known. But he did, and he grew up like a weed. This is that process of God moving on our hearts. God's not a party pooper. He just knows those things that are standing in the way of love. Obedience isn't a bummer. God wants us to obey so he can bless us more for our benefit. But we may not see it, but we're in that process. So many times in scripture you'll see God say, if you will do this, that I will do that. You trust me in this, you obey me in this, I have your well-being in my heart and in store. Again, he's not a party pooper. He just wants us to move forward. Movement, pass go. To say there is a process does not deny movement. There is movement within the process. Process does not mean stymied. It means moving along. It means on time. It means Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to what? Will carry it on to what? I couldn't hear you. Carry it on to what? Completion until the day of Christ Jesus. See, this is on God. As long as you have a little yes in your heart. He who began a good work. On your marks. Get set. He who began a good work. You're out of the blocks. You're running well. Now I'm even on the second term, on third term. I'm getting tired of it. You know. No. He'll carry us on because it's on Him. If we give Him the yes of our heart, it's on Him to carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He who began will complete. He who began will complete. Why? He's the finisher. He's the perfecter. So even though we can be a little bit nervous, like, will it work out this way? The finisher. As long as we're in the yoke, we'll see it come to complete. Especially when you're in transition. What does it look like? I can't see the future. It's okay. He can. The finisher is going to help. We don't have to have all the answers up front. We rarely do. He's not going to start building the house and then, oh no, I ran out of money. Oh no. And the neighbors go by and say, well, that's a beautiful foundation. That's some real beautiful, you know, 2x4s unfinished, you know. No, He'll finish. The master builder is at work within you and I, both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. The potter is great at shaping the clay. The potter is great at being the potter. Just don't jump off His wheel. That's the only thing. It's like, all right, He's kind of moved me around here. You know, oh, not sure about that. Oh, I felt that. It's kind of, just don't jump off the wheel. Let Him form. Let Him shape. He's a great architect. He's a great potter. Let Him form us, shape us, lead us, that our lives may go well. So let's pray for movement in our lives and movement in the lives of people we're working with. He's not looking for perfection. This is not some weird theology, some Wesleyan, something taken out of, you know, out of balance to where it's undoable. No, He's not looking for perfection. He's just looking for movement, progress, the yes in our heart, and then watch what He does. And then you stand back and you look back and you're like, David, dear me, who am I and what is my house that You have brought me this far? Not only that, You have spoken to us about the future. Is this Your normal way of dealing with man? In other words, He's just like, you are just amazing. Let's just stand to our feet. Lord, we just thank You for the faithfulness. Thank You for the faithfulness of our God. It's not on us, it's on You. Lord, we do give You our yes. And Lord, as You move on us and as You strive with us, Lord, to bring forth a certain product in our life. Lord, even as we're working with others and we can be tempted to think, they should be further along. And maybe so. But Lord, I thank You that we can celebrate any semblance, Lord, of progress. Lord, we declare today, You're the author, You're the finisher, the finisher. The finisher, the good work You started, You will carry it on to completion, completion, completion. Lord, finish out this 2017 well in our hearts and lives, we pray. Those that we're working with, and even as we contemplate the new year, finish, Lord. Do what You do best. Create the story. Create the testimony. And we'll be quick to give You all the glory, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.